Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the day that you've given us. And Lord, we're going to give this day back to you now. We have come to worship you. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would help us in our minds and our actions and our words and our testimony, Lord, to worship you today. Help us to put aside all the things of the world and concentrate on you and your preserved, inspired Word of God. Help us to lift up Jesus Christ this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Back in Book of Exodus this morning in the 19th chapter. We'll conclude this chapter today, Lord willing. Exodus chapter 19. As we have seen, the children of Israel now are camped around the Mount of God, around Mount Sinai. And that's shown again in the first two verses. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. They are camped before the Mount of God, preparing themselves, as we've seen in previous weeks, preparing to meet God. So all of this is leading up to today's lesson where they're going to meet God, and God is going to give them the next direction for their lives as a nation and as a people. How they can worship God and obey God and follow His covenant. All of that has preceded leaving Egypt and going through the desert in the last 2 months, and the trials and tests that they have gone through is all led up to this moment as they're camped around the Mount of God. So as we look at the latter part of this chapter now, and we see how the people, as we saw last week, as they prepared themselves to meet God, they were sanctified personally, individually. They were to wash their garments, and how that is a sign of a new beginning, and how they were to be a separated people, a holy people. And as God says, with this covenant that I want to make with you, if you will keep this covenant, if you will hear my voice and obey my voice, then I will make you a peculiar treasure unto me, and I will make you a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Israel was called out as an individual nation that God designed and developed and created through the life of Abraham. And they were to be a special people to God. And here they are given instruction from God to obey God. And they say, of course, last week, all that God has said we will do. They make an absolute promise, which we know we cannot keep an absolute promise. We desire and strive to keep an absolute promise to God that says, we will obey you in all that you say. We will go where you say to go. We will do all that you say to do. And they make this absolute promise that all that the Lord has spoken in verse 8, we will do. So as we come now to the third day, as they have encamped around the Mount of God, God came down and spoke to Moses, or Moses went up to speak to God, and then God told Moses, I'm going to visit the people in 3 days' time. So in the next 2 days, they are to prepare themselves for my coming. They are to prepare for the visitation of God. So as we begin again now in verse 9 of chapter 19, the Lord has spoken to Moses. Moses has spoken to the people. They have prepared themselves to meet God. And it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people, and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. Now why did God have to come down on Mount Sinai in the form of a cloud? That's what I would like to talk to you today about. This visitation of God. Why He had to come with thunders and lightning upon this Mount of God in the form of a cloud. They had been given this promise to God saying, we will obey. They had prepared themselves to meet God. Now the morning has come where they are to gather around the Mount of God. Now, a border has been set up around the Mount. God says, you are to be a separated people. I am a holy God. You are not a holy people yet. So there is a border set around the Mount of God where none could cross this border. So if any crossed that border, it was penalty of death. So this morning now has come where God is going to come down, the third day. And God descends on Mount Sinai in a thick cloud, the Bible tells us. And this cloud, when it came down, came with lightning and thunder that reverberated all through the plains and all through the mountain. It shook the ground, enough so that the people trembled. Over in the book of Deuteronomy, I believe it's chapter 4, where it says Moses even trembled at this display of God. And a trump sounded, and the people assembled at the base of the mountain. Here is the time has come. God is coming to speak with us. And what is God going to say? We'll get to that next week, Lord willing. But what is God going to say to these people when He comes down in this thick cloud? But chapter 20 of the book of Exodus. The reading, what we read, what we know of Exodus 20 is the Ten Commandments. God audibly speaks to Moses, and the children of Israel hear it. And they said, remember back in verse 8, all that the Lord hath said, we will do. So these people, these children of Israel now gathered around the Mount of God. God is descending in this thick cloud. As it says in verse 9, and the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, and that the people may hear when I speak with thee. So the people are going to hear God speak to Moses. This presence of God was displayed to the people in this form of a cloud, this thick cloud, in order that the people might hear the voice of God, which it says in verse 9, but no man could look upon God and live. Look over with me in Exodus 33. Just one verse, Exodus 33, look at verse 20. Exodus 33, the sort of the journey's being continued here as they're finalizing through the wilderness journey. In Exodus 33 and verse 20, God has said, and He said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. God is a holy God. And we are sinful man, and sinful man cannot be in the presence of a holy God. So they could not see God face to face. And here He comes in a thick cloud. But they were to hear His voice. And the Lord had promised that on this third day following the days of preparation, that He would come down. In verse 11 it says this, and be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And He comes down in their sight as a thick cloud. His presence, though, was accompanied by thunders and lightning with this thick cloud. That's verse 16. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning there was thunders and lightning and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. What is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge? It says in Proverbs, I believe it's Proverbs chapter 1, isn't it? The fear of the Lord. What are the people doing now? They're trembling before God. They fear God. Now this trembling and this fear is, yes, they're scared. What a display it must have been. But the fear it's talking about in the book of Proverbs is talking about a reverential fear. Revering God. Seeing God. High, holy, lifted up, as it says in the book of Isaiah, not just as just the man upstairs or my buddy God or he's my co-pilot or my pilot. No, He is much more than that. The purpose of this dramatic visual presentation of the descending of God from heaven was to impress upon the people that were gathered around the Mount of God the majestic power of the sovereign God. Notice when the thick cloud, it didn't rise up from the earth. It didn't blow in from the east or from the west. It descended from heaven. And here it is showing that this is God Almighty. This is Jehovah God. And He is descending from heaven upon this mount. But it also helped to highlight the tremendous importance of this occasion. He is calling, God is calling the people's attention to this moment so they will remember and they will pass it on to generation after generation after generation that God met with us at the mount. And they were not to take it lightly. They were not to say, oh, it just happens all the time. This was a special day. All mankind throughout the wilderness and in the promised land and in Egypt and all the known world of this day in Exodus 19, if we were to look at this time frame in the late 1400 BC time frame throughout the world, all nations of the world worshipped idols. Every nation worshipped idols. Israel had just left Egypt with all the idolatry that is in Egypt. They're moving towards the promised land, and the promised land is full of tribes that worship idols. God is trying to show His people, I want you to worship Me in spirit and in truth. Not by some image, not by some totem that you can create. And if God had descended from heaven in any type of shape, any type of form other than this thick cloud, Israel probably would have tried to make or duplicate or reproduce that shape and worship it. It was necessary that they should be thoroughly convinced of God's presence also. You know, if they just heard a voice speaking and Moses responding, that would be amazing. But to know God is going to descend. And as He descends, it's going to be in the form of a thick cloud. And then it happens. God descends in the form of a thick cloud, just like it had been told 2 days, 3 days previous. And as God descends and they hear the voice of God, they know this is God. This is Jehovah. This is the One that has brought us from Egypt. This is the One that has brought us through the Red Sea. They were convinced this was God. And it had come down in no outward form they could reproduce. Can you imagine trying to produce this thick cloud? No. But if God had descended like a flying animal of any sort, man would try to duplicate that and worship it. So therefore, at Mount Sinai, as the cloud descends, this thick cloud of smoke descends and the Lord is descending in that thick cloud. Moses has said afterwards, as he recounts what happened through the wilderness journey over in the book of Deuteronomy, if you want to look there, it's Deuteronomy chapter number 4. He is sort of summarizing, the book of Deuteronomy is sort of summarizing the entire wilderness journey. In Deuteronomy 4 verse 11, the Word of God says, "And ye came near and stood under the mount. And the mount burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, with darkness and clouds and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only you heard a voice." He didn't come down in a shape that they could duplicate. There was no similitude in this form, this outward form that God came down in. It was absolutely necessary for mankind to learn the holiness of God and the sinfulness of themselves. And there was a vast difference between a holy God and an unholy people. Hence the border around the mount. They could not approach. That smoke descends, that cloud descends upon the mount. Some would want to go forward, others would want to fly back and retreat back. But those that would want to go forward, that border stops them. You know, that cloud descends, over in Deuteronomy, it says total darkness. They could have gone up into the mount if that border hadn't been there. And they run into the border and go, oh, I can't go any further. But it was absolutely necessary for the children of Israel and us as well and all of mankind to realize and understand the nature of holiness of God and how we fall so far short. We are not equal with God. So how could God get this across to man that they would understand He was holy and they were unholy? Mere words wouldn't be enough. Most words would go through one ear and out the other ear, or they come in this ear and they don't register and we just sort of forget it. Mere words were not enough. God needed to do something to show the people of God that He was holy and they were not. There was a separation from them. As we saw last week, the Old Testament is always saying, keep your distance, keep your distance, keep your distance from a holy God. And the New Testament emphasis is draw nigh to God, draw nigh to God. All that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. We cannot draw nigh to God if we're still looking for a Savior. But praise the Lord, we don't have to look anymore. He's already come. So how could God get across this holiness and this unholiness, this distinction between the two? Well, God chose a family. He chose a man. And through that man, Abram, from the Ur of the Chaldees, He allowed a nation to come forth, a people group, that He would teach and help them to become separated and cleansed as much as an outward preparation could go. He would teach them the proper methods of how to worship the one true God. But even this people group that God had separated and cleansed and help them to see how to worship Him. Even this people group were unfit to approach a holy God at Mount Sinai. Barriers were erected and crossed meant the penalty of death. Who would not fear? Who would not be scared of this display? Here was God in their presence. We should be thankful if we could have this Mount Sinai experience. We should be thankful that Jesus Christ has already come. And through Him, we may be holy. Now, not for ourselves. You know, the Bible does teach us, be holy for I am holy. Now, we know we cannot be holy in this life, 100% holy, but we are to strive to be holy. We are to strive to live for God and obey God. We should be thankful that we don't live under the law. We should be thankful we're not at Mount Sinai trembling in fear before a holy God. Whereas now, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, now you are a child of God. You are a child of the King. But who are we? Who are we to approach a holy God? We're nothing. This lump of flesh is nothing when you think of a holy God. So why do we think so highly of ourselves? Well, God would usher me into His presence. Think of all I've done. No. We think too much of ourselves. We are nothing compared to a holy God. Even though we have now been saved, we're still nothing compared to a holy God. Don't ever try to put yourself on the same level as God. We are His creation. He is the Creator. He is always higher than us. We have not arrived at perfection, at holiness, at complete obedience. We have not arrived. There is nothing about us that God should invite us into His presence except for the blood of His Son. If it has been applied to your heart, to your life, then we can be invited into the presence of a holy God. But only because of the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. Isaiah 64:6 says, "But we are as unclean thing, and all our righteousness as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." All of our righteousness, all of our goodness, all of our good deeds, all of our good works are as to God as filthy, putrid rags. Romans 3:10 says, "As is written, there is none righteous." None. Zero. Nada. There is none righteous. No, not one. Nobody. Nobody upon nobody is good enough to go into the presence of God themselves. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." Only because of what Jesus Christ has done may we ever hope to be in the presence of God without His wrath. One of the most important steps of a deep spiritual union with God is achieved when we are brought to the point of realizing and admitting the great contrast between a holy God and ourselves. We have to come to that point. Before we're saved, nothing's phase us. Nothing's, you know, no fear. You just keep on going. But when you get to that point where you see, I am lost, I am undone, I am on my way to hell, then that spiritual union can begin when you accept Christ. That's because you've realized your need of a Savior. Your need of something to help you stand in the presence of a holy God and not face His wrath and judgment. Isaiah says, as we look at ourselves, as God sees us, we must cry out like Isaiah says in Isaiah 6:5. "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Do you remember the day that your eyes were opened and you saw the Lord of hosts? Not physically, but spiritually. You saw the Lord as God, and you saw yourself as an unrighteous, unholy, lost sinner needing Christ. Do you remember that day? Well, I remember that day. I hope I never forget it. Because that day I said, oh, I'm undone. Woe is me. I'm a person of unclean lips. We can be like the publican in the New Testament in Luke 18 as he beat upon his breast. In the temple, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's what we need to see ourselves as that sinner before God. We must come before God with a bowed head. We must come before God with hushed voices. We must come before God with reverent obedience. We must come to God with a broken heart. For if we come to God proud and boastful, puffed up, that's the wrong attitude. That's the wrong countenance to be before a holy God. Paul talks about as we stand before God, we will fall on our faces before Him. By a Mount Sinai experience, we should gain an appreciation for the holiness of God and our need of an intercessor and redeemer. As the children of Israel are surrounding this mount, and this thick cloud descends upon this Mount Sinai, the Mount of God, as God is there in their presence and God is speaking to Moses and they can hear His voice, there's getting ready to be a change take place. They have washed their garments. It's the beginning of a new change, a beginning of a newness in this nation. For now they are being told how to live for God, how to worship God. And they've already said, all that the Lord has said, we will obey. We will do. Well, it's not even a day later, they're breaking the Ten Commandments. We can't do this on our own. Praise the Lord, the law is just our school teacher now, our schoolmaster. It's our guidelines. Praise the Lord, we're not under the law anymore for our salvation. We are not having to keep a set of ordinances. We're not trying to keep a set of laws to be saved. And the Old Testament saints weren't either. They were pointing towards the cross. They were saved by faith just like we are. But as we look back at the cross and we see what Christ did for us, it should make us be thankful that we can stand before a holy God and not have to tremble in fear, scared of the wrath and the judgment of God. We should be reverent before God. You know, Amos chapter 4, verse 12 has a great phrase in it. Many preachers have preached it. It says, prepare to meet thy God. If we were told today that in 3 days' time God would descend, would our life be different in those 3 days? Most likely. All of us, yes. If we knew God was going to descend in 3 days and collect the church and we all go up in the rapture, what would change in your life? Then don't wait 3 days. Because God could come back today. The rapture could happen today. There is nothing waiting except for the Father to say, son, it's time. Go get your bride. So what would change in your life? Are you prepared to meet God? Are you prepared to be ushered into His presence? For it could happen sooner than you think. We just had a dear pastor friend just this weekend have a heart attack. And he's younger than I am. He didn't pass away, praise the Lord, but he had a heart attack. And it opened my eyes. It could happen at any moment of any day. God could usher us into His presence. Are you prepared for a visitation from God? John Newton wrote a poem. He's famous for writing Amazing Grace, the words to Amazing Grace. He was, by his own account, the wretched sinner. He was a slaver. He captured slaves. He was a wicked man until God got a hold of him. What a life story. If you've never read the life story of John Newton, it's worth reading. But he wrote this, and he entitled it, Approach, My Soul, the Mercy Seat. And it goes like this. Approach, my soul, the mercy seat, where Jesus answers prayer. There humbly fall before His feet, for none can perish there. Thy promise is my only plea. With this I venture nigh. Thou callest burdened souls to Thee, and such, O Lord, am I. Bowed down beneath a load of sin, by Satan sorely pressed, my war without and fears within, I come to Thee for rest. Be Thou my shield and hiding place, that sheltered near Thy side, I may my fierce accuser face and tell him Thou hast died. O wondrous love to bleed and die, to bear the cross and shame, that guilty sinners such as I might plead Thy gracious name. Poor tempest-tossed soul, be still. My promised grace receive. I'll work in thee both power and will if thou only believe. Are you prepared to meet God? For God may come at any moment. For Jesus Christ is God. And He is only waiting for His Father to say, son, go get your bride. And then we will be in the presence of God. All work here on earth is done. What we have done then for God's glory will be put through the fire. So if we knew in advance that God was coming, what would change in our lives. The children of Israel had to prepare for a visitation from God. We should also be prepared every day for a visitation from God. Heavenly Father, thank you for this lesson. Help us speak to our hearts, not only here, but on the Ustream, not only on the Ustream, but on the radio as it broadcasts. And only you know who listens, who hears. And Lord, I pray it would challenge hearts to help us be prepared to meet God. We thank you so much. Bless the next service. Bless our pastor. Give him what he needs for this morning's hour. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.